Boom, we
Whose song is that? Whose song is that? Who says that?
It is.
You can't even tell.
That specific part is from Total. That was Missy Elliott said that. My mic sounds nice. Check one. Came Akeisha and Pam. Oh, shit.
That came from God MC damn. Light.
I mean, it did, but I was saying the part that I was saying.
Like, this MC Light, though. It's not.
But Missy Elliott said the part that I was saying.
After MC Light. MC probably, Light said it first.
Most likely.
Yeah. I was asking you where it came from. I asked you where you heard it.
I don't know where it came from. All right. Everything came from somewhere. Somebody, maybe she got it from somebody
That's
else.
That's why I was asking you if you knew where it came from.
Well, from where it came from where the fuck I said it came from, was from Missy Elliott.
All right, that's where you heard it. But that's not where it came from.
It's where it came from me. Like, if that's where I heard it, that's where it came from.
All right.
I don't know, like, where, who originated it. Some Roman.
That's what I was asking you.
Maybe the person who invented the microphone said, my mic sounds nice.
Exactly. Just like you always calling me grandpa's. He wants you to know the original.
I know.
The original.
I don't know that far back.
I mean, you're going to start calling me grandpa, though.
You act old as fuck.
You got a lot of miles on me, man.
Like a grandpa. All
right.
You go to sleep super early.
You kind of sound like a prostitute when he said it.
Yeah.
Nah, I mean, like.
He done been ran through.
I mean, like basketball. And I've been drinking since I was 18. Like,
he sounded like he had AA.
Like, I played basketball. But I was running.
I done done some things.
My name is Brent.
I was running the streets for a while.
And I have a problem.
I've been drinking for a long time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got miles on me.
We record?
We are recording.
Oh, well. Welcome to the Committed Mentality Podcast.
I got
podcast.
Experience, nigga. Something your ass ain't got, youngster.
I don't know why you think I don't have experience. I don't know why you think I don't have any experience.
Because you ain't seen Pulp
Fiction. That cannot be your basis of experience.
It can, and it is.
Okay. All right. Well, we're three guys committed to growing through conversation. More like we probably should be committed to an insane asylum. What happened last week?
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving. I think a lot of people saw all the stuff of like, hey, don't have Thanksgiving, don't do this. I saw a lot of things where people were saying, it was kind of saying trying to at least not to have it with people that you don't already see on the regular. So like if you see them on the regular or they live with you or rent and things like that, like you probably really aren't doing much.
Yeah.
But if you're like having people come from out of town or.
Did you go somewhere?
I did not. We had it here, and everybody that came over are people that have been popping over my fucking house the entire time anyways. Because like I told you, like I've told a lot of people, it seemed like certain people in my family, when they told people not to go around other people, that was just like, that was the all of a sudden the reason to come around all the time when they never come around or like shit like that. You know what I'm saying? So there ain't really been nobody in our family that we haven't been seeing on the regular since all this has been happening.
You be?
Nah, we stayed here. Not here, but we didn't really go anywhere. Mm-hmm. We got an Airbnb because wifey wanted to cook, and she wanted my whole family to come over.
Mm. Oh, I remember you saying that.
And our crib is, you know what I'm saying, it can't hold all that many people. Our crib's small as hell. So we got this big-ass house, and she cooked, and everybody came over, like all my family and shit, my mom and everything. That shit was amazing.
Yeah, that shit's dope. No, and that's something that, my wife started talking about a long time ago. I think a lot of people slack on that with like a wedding or a birthday party or holidays, or like that's one of the dopest things you can do now with Airbnbs. And Airbnbs are cheaper and everything right now with COVID going on and shit like that, because not as many people are traveling. There's more availability. People have dropped their rates and things like that. But you can get a crazy dope spot. Like you can get a mansion and shit for a decent price if you're only getting it for a day.
This motherfucking house was big, bro. It had 8 bedrooms. And I think 4 bathrooms.
I've
seen it in the background and shit on the picture. I was like, wherever that is,
motherfucker was huge.
I have been thinking about like trying to do an Airbnb.
It looks so small though. Like if you see it from the outside, it looks small as fuck.
Shit, think about Chaz's spot that they got down there for the wedding. Like from the outside, it didn't look small, but it didn't look crazy. You went inside and that shit was crazy.
That shit was huge.
That shit was nuts.
I've been in some villas like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's up.
What about you?
Oh, nah, because mine wasn't great at all. But we had every year we go to my wife's grandma's house, and so like I don't really hardly do that much with my family. Like my family is like Christmas, and her family's always been Thanksgiving. So every year for the past 15 years, we've always gone there. It's like an hour and a half away, so it's like probably 8 or 9 of us. But there's some other details I kind of can't get into, but there were some situations that happened that just made me like not want to be there.
Oh, it was drama?
No, no drama at all. I'm the dramatic one. If I don't like I already didn't want to go, like I already don't like Thanksgiving in general. But being there, there was like some things that annoyed me that are brand new. And I can tell y'all like off the air, I can't talk about it on here, but there were some brand new situations that were involved that really like got under my fucking skin. And I didn't eat. I didn't really talk. Like I did not want to be there. I almost left.
He had an amazing Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Huh?
It was that bad?
I ain't eat. Y'all, when I don't want to be somewhere, I don't usually go anywhere I don't want to be at. I only went because my wife wanted me to go. And we always normally go. And I was going to try to make the best of the situation. But then, like, the same shit had happened. Some shit had happened that had happened earlier in the summer. And not with my wife or anything, but with another family member. And it annoyed me so much that I made me not want to be there anymore. So, like, at that moment when it annoyed me, I was done. It was a wrap. I was like, I'm ready to go. And so, like, I almost left. But, you know, respect for my wife and kids who were around their family. I just waited it out until it was time to go, come back home. I didn't have, like, hardly any internet service or anything because it's way out there in the sticks.
He was going through it.
It was miserable.
Yeah,
I was going through it.
Yeah, I had like a little bit.
Couldn't get the Pornhub
yeah,
jumping.
I had like a little bit of Wi-Fi, but it wasn't anything that I could like really, really do. So.
The videos were spotty.
Yeah, I couldn't get text messages or anything, so I couldn't talk to nobody.
He couldn't get that perfect scene.
that's not even something you hear very much nowadays. He said I only had a little bit of Wi-Fi.
Yeah, because the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, like half a bar.
We're like way out there, so. So the Wi-Fi that they have out there is almost like that. Like it's not as high speed. It's all through satellite. So it's not as fast as what we get through our satellite, who has like all of these, you know, hotspots that are around us to make our Wi-Fi stronger. So their shit sucks out there. There's no cell phone reception. It's just like, I don't know. But anyways, I had a shitty time. I didn't eat anything at all. I really fasted.
You know
all
what that reminds me of? Have y'all ever seen the video of that family on Thanksgiving where they're like in the basement, they got this big ass spread out? And it's the kid with the glasses. It's a white family. And the kid with the glasses is upset. And the dad's kind of going back and forth with him. And they're like, okay, why don't you say what you're thankful for or whatever? And he's like, me? The dude with the kid with the glasses. So he starts talking. He said, I'm thankful for my Xbox. I love Halo just came out. I worship the Grand Master Chief or whatever. Y'all never see this video?
No,
comes up every Thanksgiving on Twitter. Y'all got to get on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't fuck with
but Twitter. But his dad... him and his dad are like going back and forth, like kind of talking shit to each other. And his dad like threw a biscuit or something at him.
No, is it from a movie? Is a movie?
Nah, it's like an actual family. But this video is probably maybe 9 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
But it comes up like once a year. I just see it on my timeline. And every time I see it, I got to retweet it again. Yeah. We can't let this video die. It's too fucking hilarious. So dad throws like a roll or a biscuit at him. And he just stares at him. He says, you're not going to act right. You're not a part of this family. And he said, I'm not a part of this family? And the dad was like, no, you're not a part of this family. So he stood up. He looked at the table. He looked at everybody else. And he just grabbed the table and flipped that motherfucker over with all the food on it. Because they had like two big, with those fold-out tables.
Yeah.
They had two of them. They had one with all the food was all over both tables. So he grabbed one, flipped it up. Everybody was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And this whole time, his brother or somebody is recording, and they laughing their fucking asses off. And then he goes to the other table and flips that, but then he finds out that they're recording. He said, you're filming, man. Like, he got more mad. He went through some pies at his dad and shit, storming up the stairs. He threw his glasses on the ground.
Jesus,
it was
Christ.
Hilarious.
Somebody that never get their ass whooped growing up.
For real.
Listen, it's on my timeline somewhere. I'm going to find it. I'm screen record it. I'm going to send it to y'all.
All right. Yeah,
that shit's hilarious.
But yeah, Thanksgiving was cool, man.
That's what's up.
Like I said, since we basically see everybody, we for sure see everybody all the time that came here.
I'm done with family functions.
I know it's still not the best idea to put them all together in a snap, but I was also in a weird turn of mind.
Fuck that. We going to die soon.
We'll see.
Like,
that's
she's nine. She was like, she's like 80-something years old. Like,
yep.
We went with it because it was obviously my wife and kids and my wife's dad and his brother, his sister, and his grandma. So all of us there, you know, she's 80. That's the house that we went to. Like, she ain't got that much time left. I'm not fucking.
She might not be here for the next Thanksgiving. Yeah. No, that was exactly my thoughts, honestly. And that's why I think a lot of people, I wonder how many other people had like kind of that mindset. As my thoughts were, like, you never know what next year brings. You can't say like, oh, we'll do this next year, or we'll get the family together next year and shit like that. It's like, who knows? Especially because you can get COVID without going to these family functions and shit like that. And somebody can die from it from getting at the fucking gas station or whatever. You know what I mean? So for that reason, I was like, nah, man, like, I'd rather get my family together. Yeah. Like, we got to figure, I mean, they're having better treatments for it now, a lot of different things. When I weighed the options, to me, it was just like, I'd rather do it while everybody's here.
Yeah. On the other side, my grandmother, she ain't seeing nobody. I found out that I had a brother from her daughter, her blood daughter. She has a whole nother grandson she ain't even know about and still didn't see his ass. We found out at the beginning of COVID, she still hasn't seen him. Like, she's not fucking around.
That's how my mom was. Like, when this shit first started, I ain't see my mom would let none of us come over for like 3 months.
Yeah, we ain't. I haven't seen my grandmother.
She wasn't fucking around.
She was trying to get a break from y'all anyway. She was like, perfect.
Nah, yeah. My mom, she just kicks it anyway. You know what I mean? But she was like, nah, y'all can't come over.
Yeah, my grandma's in one of those like retirement type centers or whatever, like old folks home type thing or whatever, and she's not allowed to do anything at all. Like, for a little small period of time when Franklin County wasn't super high and all that, my mom and her siblings and stuff were allowed to go see her, like, outside and keep distance from her and whatever, like, just be a good ways away from her outside only and still not be allowed to, like, hug her and random stuff like that. So it's been crazy for them. Like, my mom, it's always been, like, her closest, like, best friend is her mom or whatever. Mm-hmm. So now that she's been in there and she's not able to like hug her, see her, things like that, whatever, been driving her crazy. We went and saw her Thanksgiving because we ended up doing our thing here on Friday because some people have to work and stuff on Thursday. And so on Thursday we went and see my grandma at her window, like a lot of these places make you do now. And it was crazy. Like, it was tearing my mom up to like not be able to. And she kept saying how she wanted to break her out and stuff like that or whatever. But that's
tough.
It's real tough. And tough, I think about how tough it is for the people in there. Like, the crazier part is like my grandma has like the early onset dementia or whatever. So she doesn't fully. I don't think she fully understands
what's going
almost
on.
Anything to begin with. Yeah. And then to try to explain this to her too is like, she'll just say random stuff like, well, yeah, you guys are coming to get me, right? Or she'll just be like, she just wants to come out of there, like. Yeah. But you can see it coming through now that now. I think it has been so abnormal for her now to not actually get to hug or be close with the family that now she is randomly starting to say stuff like, oh, I just miss you. I just want you guys to be able to get me out or come in, like, says stuff that's almost like more level headed because it's like something's really clicking, like this shit ain't normal.
That's probably one of my biggest fears is like losing my mind and not knowing it. And I used to dream about that, like, as a kid. Like, that's how far back it goes with me. And I don't even know why, like, how it – I don't know if, like, there's movies or stuff that I used to watch that would make me think of stuff like that. But, like, I can't call one out, but
– It's a crazy thing to see people go through. My grandpa on my dad's side – so that's my grandma on my mom's side. My grandpa on my dad's side had Alzheimer's. And it was wild to see, man, just because he had it to where – not only did he, like, forget things and not totally understand things and things like that. It's weird how – I think it happens in dementia, too. It's weird, too, that, like, all of a sudden they're just in a time frame.
A moment in life,
that's 10, 20, 30 years ago. And they're talking to you as if you're 5 years old because that's where they're at right now.
Shit.
And it's crazy as hell.
So bizarre.
It's very crazy. But then past that, my grandfather also started having things where he was actually seeing stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, he was over at our house the one time, and he's like, we had, like, this little tent set up in the back because when we was younger, my dad had bought this weird little, like, screened-in tent thing that we would, like, in the summertime go out there and camp out and shit like that. Well, he's, like, over our house because him and my grandma used to come over in the morning and take us to school for my dad when he had to work early. And my grandpa, the one time, is just telling me, like, yeah, like, you see that boy out there hanging from that thing?
Oh, shit.
Like, and there's nobody there. And he just keeps telling me, like, you guys just going to let him do that? And it's not, he's getting pissed. He's, like, ready to go out there. This and that. Like, it was crazy. He had another situation at my grandma's house where she woke up in the middle of the night. And I don't know if somebody knocked on the door or she just heard stuff going on or what. But my grandpa's walking out in the neighborhood with a hammer because he said someone was trying to break into their car. So she ends up out there and trying to bring them all in and stuff. And I think the neighbors finally came out and stuff. And it was all because they were trying to get into, they were getting into their car.
Mm.
But he was for sure, it was his car and they were breaking into his car. And he's trying to fucking hit him with a hammer.
Jesus.
Because his mind is gone. And then he's 6'3", weighs however much. My grandma's tiny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 5'2", and some, maybe 100 pounds on her best day, trying to like bring him back in the house or control the situation.
Yeah, that's
like
that's not working.
That type of stuff gets crazy. And like the weird part was she was so big on like not wanting to lock him up in one of those places, mm-hmm. because she just felt like he would never do that to
her.
Yeah,
that would tear me up. I don't even know how I would react.
Yeah, like what do you do if like yeah. if you feel like, damn, like I wouldn't want to be put in one of those places
at all.
But at the same time it starts getting dangerous.
Yeah.
It's weird, man.
I don't know, man. I might want to check out.
That, well, when Brent or when Brendan first said that, that's what I was gonna say. When he said that's always been one of his biggest fears,
yeah.
I was gonna say, yeah, that's almost like one of the things. Like,
yeah,
I need to tell somebody, like, hey, if some shit goes down, you gotta take me out.
Yeah, like that level,
you gotta get me out of here.
You gotta seal the deal for me.
That level of delusion would just be scary. I would almost be like being a Trump supporter. Like, it's a crazy amount of like visual, like
unnecessary. That was uncalled for. They was minding their business. They weren't doing nothing to you.
Just enjoying post Thanksgiving life.
Just enjoying, you know, or not enjoying. Either way, they was minding their business.
But you know what? Even though I didn't participate for real, like in Genocide Day, I felt like I don't ever have like situations where like I hated life. Like I was there with my wife and kids. Like I'm good. As long as I'm with them, I'm good. There's nothing. As long as they're happy, I'm good. I don't have to eat. I don't have to participate. I don't have to do anything to celebrate this day. Like I'm good. But there were things that were happening that I was like super annoyed with that just like fueled me for like, I just want to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's tough when you go into a situation already kind of annoyed or knowing like if something happens.
Well, like I didn't go into it that way. Yeah, I didn't try to go into it that way. Like I even had, I bought us all like matching outfits so we could take like a fun photo. Like I bought these elf pajamas for us all to take a photo and like maybe we could do a Christmas card or something or just have a holiday photo.
No doubt.
And then like at first, like everyone was on board, like my whole family, we were all dressed up. We even dressed the way there, and like it at first was like a great idea for everybody, but then like the energy was just weird. I don't know, man. It was just weird, and so like I just didn't. It was a new year, every other year that we had and had been like great, and everybody kind of hanging out, laughing and talking and having a good time. So it was just a different year.
I can dig it. I'm going to plug one thing while I'm thinking of it, just because I always want to put shit out that I've heard if I can in any situation that might help some people. So the crazy thing is with like dementia and Alzheimer's and all that stuff too, I've seen a decent amount of research and people talking about it or whatever that are specialists in it, where exercise improves it a bunch because of like blood flow and stuff to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then the crazy thing, creatine that you take for working out, creatine literally draws more water to the muscles. Mm-hmm.
I passed out because of that.
Because of taking creatine or not having enough?
Because I didn't replenish enough water.
I got you. Okay. Yeah.
And so
Wait. What happened?
If you take creatine as a supplement, you have to make sure that you are drinking enough water to balance out the water that it's pulling from your body. Because it'll pull water from your body
and put it
into your muscles. So it gives you a good pump. And so when I was on this regimen, this day, for some reason, I don't even know what happened. Because I was drinking like a gallon or 2 gallons a day, like it was nothing, and I could say like a gallon to 2 gallons because it literally I'd drink the first gallon, I would be done, and then I would have the other gallon, and I would have to like stop myself drinking because I was drinking so much water and I was going to the bathroom a lot, but my job was super easy, so it didn't really matter. But as I was my workout routine, I was going to the gym every single day. So this one day I was going, it was a Saturday, and it was in the afternoon, and I remember taking the creatine in the morning. And it was just a pill. This one was a powder version. And I put the powder in my drink, and I just had that. Just my drink. I didn't have a gallon of water with me, nothing. Just had that, drank that bitch, and had my whole workout. And, you know, I'm describing people, like, what I was doing. Like, oh, yeah, I was curling my total weight. And I was like, oh, well, what are you doing? I was like, oh, they're only 90-pound dumbbells, blah, blah, blah. So I'm doing this and that. And it's like, oh, well, maybe that, was that too stressful? I was like, no, like, that's what I normally do. Like, I was doing blah, blah, blah. So I went through my whole exercise routine. didn't even dawn on me that I had not drank enough water and had creatine. So I end up, I remember not feeling good. And I went downstairs because at Lifetime Dublin, all the workout is upstairs and the lockers and stuff are downstairs. So I remember walking all the way to the lockers and just feeling like shit. Like, I just did not feel good. I was ready to go home. And I was like, I don't know why. This is just a normal workout. I'm not doing anything extra, no other stress. It was really light that day. And I get all the way into the locker room. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at somebody. And the next thing I know... gone.
Night.
Gone. And I'm on the floor.
Nate.
Yeah, I was
Nate Robinson.
Nate on the ground, bro.
Too soon.
So I remember looking up and somebody's like trying to help me out. And I'm in the locker room. Everybody's naked. Like, I'm just on the ground. it's really clean because Lifetime is really clean. So, like, I'm not really worried, but
the locker room.
I'm in the locker room. You know what I'm saying? Like, so everybody is like, trying to help. And so, like, I kind of sit up a little bit, and by this time, the managers and stuff coming in there, they already called the paramedics. So, by that time, they got the really super fast,
somebody
too.
Somebody was saying, he needs some milk.
Yeah. I don't even know how long I was out.
Bro, if I'm in the locker room and I pass out and you got a towel on, don't help me.
No.
Go put some pants on, yeah. Bro.
So, they helped me up, and they were like, they made me sit up, and then so, like, asked me where I'm at, time, all that kind of stuff that they normally ask, like, on the movies and shit. And so I said all that. I was fine. I was good to go. So like, all right, we're going to stand you up and, have you walk a little bit. I stood up, passed right the fuck out again.
Damn.
And so like, all right, so that's passed. You passed out in front of us. So we got to take you to the hospital. So then I took me to the hospital and I was hooked up to an IV and had to get my fluids replenished. And I was like, and until I think a week after that, it didn't even dawn on me that I was.
Did you
that was the creatine.
Were you sweating like a motherfucker too, like mm-hmm. at the time? Like working? Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Like, even if you're not taking creatine,
soaked.
If you're sweating like a motherfucker and not
soaked.
Staying up on your water,
yeah.
It can put you in a bad place.
Lifting weights gives me a good burn, and I was sweating my ass off. Like, I was drenched with sweat.
Yeah.
And just didn't even dawn on me.
Yeah.
So.
Sometimes you get busy, you don't think about it. Like, I drink a shit ton of water, but every once in a while, like you said, I'll just have a busy ass day or something, or just be getting after it, and you just don't think about it.
Yeah.
Like, you just forget.
The only thing that was on my mind was working out. Like, I didn't have anything. And it's kind of part of it why I hadn't worked out as much, kind of like since. Then I had like another arm injury. Yeah, I had an injury. And
the crazy thing
like
about me plugging it with like old people too is like, damn, now that I think about it too, it would have to be super hard to get them to stay up on their water too.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's one of the hardest things with my grandma. She has like a more slight case of diabetes or whatever as well too, and they're always trying to stay on mm-hmm. her to say like you have to be up on drinking your water and all that stuff or whatever, and it's just hard to keep her doing it because she can barely, like we said, like barely keep all her like mind in order and everything to begin with, but then to try to stay on top of something of like constantly drinking water. So I think they always kind of have to try to bring it to her and stuff like that, but then she just takes small sips.
Right. My father-in-law, he'll pee just looking at water. He's not even old.
I mean,
like, he just has that, you know?
Which, I mean, as you get older, they say a lot of people kind of run into that.
Yeah.
But even the study that I seen was pretty crazy because they literally took like patients that had like, I think it was dementia and Alzheimer's or maybe just one, but I want to say it was both. But it for sure was dementia. And they gave them creatine like on a regular basis leading up to this and had them like playing chess and doing random things like before and then had them doing it again after the creatine. And they like just brain function and how they were doing everything like all improved. And I was like, damn, that's pretty crazy. Like, who would have thought some fucking workout shit? Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Real crazy.
And your body naturally produces creatine, but it's the excess of it that you're trying to get that pump from.
I don't know if we for sure produce it, but I know it's in a lot of meats and stuff.
Your body definitely, well, yeah, you get it.
We produce a thing called creatine from our kidneys, but I think it's different.
Well, speaking of going to sleep, did you guys catch the fights over the weekend?
You already know.
I didn't. I didn't care to watch. But I've seen everybody.
You've seen the 900,000 Nate Robinson memes.
Everybody like, I knew I didn't have to watch or pay for it because somebody was going to record it and put it on Facebook.
For sure.
So I just watched that.
Well, the one thing that nobody is talking about is Badu Jack.
Yeah, that was a good fight.
He had a fight before Nate, and he's actually really dope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen him fight before. He had a really good fight. He was beating dude's ass.
He was
real.
Whooping his ass.
Yeah, it really wasn't fair. Like
dude had a couple like dude had a couple all right shots like just because he had a crazy chin and they kept talking about like he was a military dude. I think he was just like tough as nails.
Yeah,
but he was just getting rocked.
He was getting rocked, bro. Badu was whooping his ass.
Did y'all pay for it?
No.
Yeah.
Oh. I did. Just no, wondering.
I'm the cheapest man in America, man. Always remember that. I always find a way. I always find a way to either get it for free or somebody else pay for it and then I'd somehow whatever. But I have that one of those boxes that like kind of like when people unlock the fire sticks and things like that. It basically does the same thing. And I can always pull up movies and
allegedly
stream. No, allegedly. I don't give a damn. You heard it here first. I don't give a fuck. That's how I do it, along with the other few million people just in the U.S. that do it too. So come see me. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I didn't watch. I did watch the Tyson fight.
I watched the whole thing, start to finish.
I didn't watch.
How many fights were there? How many exhibition were there?
There were four fights.
Oh, okay.
Was it only four? It was either four or five.
Four because exhibition or four total?
Total. Oh, so total. It was either four or five total that I know of.
I didn't see anybody.
There was a super light heavyweight fight that was first. Then there may have been five because I think Badu Jack's fight was after the fight.
I think that was the third
after
one.
I think there was a third fight.
I do too.
And then it was Nate. Then it was
Tyson,
Mike, and them.
Yeah,
and
Nate shouldn't have been in that ring.
No,
you know what's funny is like looking at
he shouldn't have been in that
when
ring.
You watched him on.
But here's the thing though, man. He's trained like an entire year.
That's what I'm saying. They said twice a day, 6 days a week for the whole year.
Yeah.
And
so
he still looked like he hadn't touched gloves.
Yeah, like and I don't know
but
how
of
many.
Them look like
I don't know
that.
How
nah,
many.
Nah, 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 nah. Dude looks like he has.
No, dude has fought before.
Yeah, and he's like literally trying to be a professional boxer. He's trying to fight McGregor and all kinds of people.
I seen that.
He's barking up the wrong tree.
He definitely is. McGregor will fuck him up.
Yeah, and I hope they fight.
But I don't know.
But the way
McGregor's
he was throwing punches just was
a straight up boxer weird. Too, though. So McGregor might catch him. But he might.
Have you seen McGregor fights?
Yeah.
He may not be a boxer, but he could, like, he was putting motherfuckers down with hands.
Right, but when you go to straight boxing, you see what you see in the Mayweather fight
different.
Where it's like.
He wasn't that bad versus Money, though.
He wasn't that bad, but he wasn't good either.
I don't.
He
I
just caught
think
him
that.
With
he
like
was,
one
he
or
was
two
outskilled
shots.
Outskilled. In the way
but
of boxing.
But that's what boxing comes down to, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
But the
and
thing
that's
is.
Kind of what happened with.
But my thing is, I don't think Jake is anywhere near the boxer that. That Connor
could be on on a because
he has
day.
A different level of skill.
Maybe I mean I think we might find out.
But
you know how Connor is.
But my thing is though I don't know if Nate has had any fights prior to this.
Right, right.
Yeah,
he
you could train, you could train and train. But if you're not doing the real thing, you're not getting what you really need.
And did you say you were following him on social scene?
Yeah, like when you follow him on social.
Was he showing shit of him actually sparring, mm-hmm. like actually fighting other dudes?
Yeah, like even he left all of it up there too. Like even him talking about the loss and everything, and it's still on his Instagram now. But
yeah, I haven't.
He's spoken about it since.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I honestly want to know if he was all right for real.
Yeah, he spoke about it the day.
Hey,
he said
he
it wasn't the
dropped,
result that
when
he wanted.
Dropped, I was scared for a minute.
The first one really was just like.
No. I'm talking about when he. First fell on that last drop, like when he.
Oh, when he bounced.
Just the end, like when it got ended, when he got
the last
to sleep,
the last knockout. Yeah, because he bounced off.
I was worried about that.
That's when I was like, oh shit, is he all right?
Like, and then they're still sitting there, like trying to wake him up or trying to talk to him, and
yeah,
he ain't
not
moving at all.
Yeah. There was an interview.
Like I've seen knockouts, but this dude was asleep
sleep for real.
Wow.
There was a not like a, it wasn't like an interview, but like of him walking out. They had like cameras on him and stuff, and they were talking to him at that point too. So there was that part that was in there. I don't know if he posted that on his Instagram or somebody else posted that.
What was he saying? Like the gist of it?
Just that it wasn't the result. It was basically the same thing. Just it wasn't the result that he wanted, but you know what I mean. Like it's done.
And
it's
that the reason why I ask. I wonder how many fights he had prior to this one. Like I said, I get he trained all year, but mm-hmm. you can only do so much training until you get the actual real thing.
It definitely looked like he was
because
so like nervous or amped up that he wasn't on his shit.
When he got in there and he's like he's and
everybody got
the bell
to get hit in the mouth.
But mm-hmm. the thing is though, he hadn't even got hit yet.
Yeah, that's true.
But and like as soon as the bell rang,
he's just
on 10, like mm-hmm. and I'm like, he's gonna get knocked out doing that, moving that way.
Oh, yeah. Snoop was calling it right away, like, hold on, Nate, why are you jumping around
like
that? Like,
slow down.
It's
like
you're
doing too much.
Right.
Because what's gonna happen is you're gonna try to punch him and he gonna catch your ass with your guard down.
But that's the point.
And that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. That's the point that since we brought it up, what Mayweather was proving in the fight with McGregor is mm-hmm. that boxing has a lot to do with energy conservation, you know, like, and he was wearing McGregor out a lot and then going for the attack. He understood
that's what Floyd
does. Yeah, but I'm saying, like, that's
it's a very strategic part of boxing.
Very, So when you,
Florida
if
is
you,
nice.
If you jumping around,
dude, is
if
nice.
You done with all your energy, you don't have no energy to throw a punch that's gonna fuck
even
somebody
if,
up.
Even if your punch landed, nothing on it.
Yeah, ain't no
There's
way
nothing
behind
it.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of what I kept thinking, and I think the commentators were kind of speaking to that as well too. They were thinking that. In the Roy Jones Tyson fight, it kind of seemed like Roy was kind of kept trying to like grab on Tyson and lean on him and shit like
early
that.
Early too,
and it, yeah, and it seemed like he was trying to wear him out. And then I'm thinking like, oh shit, maybe he is gonna try to wear him out and then throw a Roy Jones fucking shot at the end.
Well,
but
I don't know if
I've ever seen Tyson wore out before.
But
well,
Roy is
I have.
Just Roy is just too fucking out of shape and too he don't have it no more.
When
he
I
just ain't got
like
it
watching
no
that fight, I was surprised that Roy was in worse shape than Mike was.
Yeah, yeah.
Why were you surprised? Oh,
Mike's older.
Because he was done in 2018.
Mike's last fight was like 15, 20
yeah,
years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
Roy's last fight was in 2018.
Two years ago.
And,
you know what I'm saying?
And like, he's younger.
Yeah.
And he's a few years younger. Mm-hmm. And he's also 10 pounds smaller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he has extra reach too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think
yeah.
his arms are a little longer. Yeah. 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 But he's tired. Like,
bro, Tyson is still a fucking mutant to watch, man. That shit is so crazy.
He kept grabbing Mike because he wanted to get hit.
He said he hit hard. I was like, yeah, that nigga hit hard. Have you seen this motherfucker?
Nah,
like,
he did just say he hit hard. When it was over, he said, I don't know if I'll do it again. When he grabs you, he said everything that dude does hurts. He said he grabs you, it hurts. He hits you, it hurts. His head hits you, it hurts.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, Jesus. That like, Roy was in there in trouble.
Roy was in there screaming.
The dude at the end, I don't even know his name, but the one that was interviewing him at the end, he had asked him, like, would y'all do this again? And you see Roy immediately, he's like, shit.
He's
like, he shook his head like, oh no, he hit hard. Like,
kept shouting out
when I was watching,
yo, I never seen a boxer ever in an interview say some shit like that. Ever. Like, have y'all ever heard of any boxer saying that? Like, oh, I want to, like, if there was a rematch brought up, like, I don't know, he hit hard. Like, have you ever?
Yeah, but this is Mike we talking about.
Yeah. I would
like,
not.
If you fight Mike, you got to give it up.
Props for him for going up in the first place because that shit is bananas. Like, to know what he has done, when you're in your prime, you're really fucking cocky. You're like, I'll take on anybody, give me Mike Tyson. I don't give a fuck. When you're like retired, as he was, like he's done. Yeah, he's beat up enough people.
Well, what Roy was thinking is that he can get in shape quicker than Mike can because his last fight was 2 years ago.
I would say that this
it just
is a
didn't
good
appear
match.
That way once they got in the fight.
Yeah. I think
this was a good match.
Honestly, I think that was because Mike took it more serious and Mike started blowing chunks of money on his body and recovery and shit like that. He talked a little bit on Rogan and on another podcast I was listening to him on. Might even been his, where he was saying, like, I think he had mentioned a long time ago on the first podcast he did with Rogan, where he was saying that, I want to say he said he's on the testosterone replacement therapy,
mm-hmm.
that, like, a lot of the older people are. Rogan is. A lot of people over mm-hmm. 40 that are, like, big into either fitness or some kind of sports or fucking MMA, wrestling, whatever, will kind of, like, try to keep their testosterone up or whatever so that they can still stay in good shape and shit like that. That shit is a game changer, period, because you're talking about now somebody that has the testosterone levels of a young person,
mm-hmm.
even though they're that old.
And then you give them that mentality?
And he has that mentality. But so then
and
he was talking about
his
with recovery.
Skill, too, though. Like,
but then he was talking about with recovery and shit. He said the very first time he went in a ring or whatever and, like, sparred and trained or whatever, maybe it wasn't even the ring, just training. He said the very first time he said it wrecked him for like a week to 2 weeks.
Damn.
Like, it was bad. Like, he was so out of it. He was so away from it. His body was so not used to it that he was fucked. Like, he felt like he got in a car accident. He was in bad fucking shape. Like, he was like, I literally, like, this is me telling you this. And I'm telling you, I could not train. Like, I was fucked. Next thing you know, he's talking about he's doing like these IV therapies, getting vitamin IVs every day and shit like that, whatever. And he's like, nah, I'll train 2 times a day sometime, 3 times a day. Like, so he just, I think, took it way more serious and was like, what can I do? Whether it was the people around him, his own choices, whatever, I think he went in that route where when you look out there, that's what you see in Tyson. You still see that he's old. He's got a little flab on him because he's older and the way he's like.
Your body sits different.
Yeah, declined. But with Roy, to me, looked like somebody that used to be in shape that now is at home drinking a bunch of liquor. Like, he looked like a bunch of dudes that I used to play ball with that now drinks a lot of liquor.
Yeah.
And you randomly go see him with the shirt off and they got that gut and they just look, eyes look dark. They just don't, they're not in shape. They're not in a good place health-wise. And when I seen that, when they first got out there, I'm like, damn, like, oh, I kind of expected, like, Tyson maybe to look a little bit worse, or both of them to look good.
I didn't expect Tyson to look worse at all. I thought
you know Tyson lost 100 fucking pounds to get to that though.
I mean, is somebody I was following.
I was expecting Roy to be in better shape though.
Yeah,
that was my one expectation.
I did expect that, but I thought Tyson. I don't know. Maybe if I, because he was posting a lot. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of interviews and stuff. So like watching Tyson talking about it for the past year, and then actually happening and stuff. I feel like he looked like what he was going to look like in the ring. I thought that he had, in a way, like an upper hand because of his pedigree, because of his skill that he's had over the years. I don't know. I feel like, to me, it looked like it would be something like riding a bike. I understand that, you know, Roy
that was the weird thing with Roy.
Retired soon, but
what did y'all think about this, especially you, B, since you watched it? With Roy, it looked like he had no power to his punches.
I think Roy was playing keep away.
I got you. Well, I think so too.
I don't think Roy was actually trying to mix.
I think he was doing it more like an exhibition, and Tyson really wanted to win.
Tyson was trying to clean him, and Roy was trying to stay alive.
But as it went later, I thought like a couple times he kind of tried to really throw a nice shot, and it just didn't seem like it had no power behind it. And like you said, that could be 100%. I could just be totally wrong that he was doing what you said, but it, like the more I watched it, I was just like, man, I'm not sure. If it is that he's on exhibition mode, or if he just doesn't have that
maybe
kind of strength anymore.
Maybe he was hitting a brick wall, and it didn't look like the nigga. Like I can't imagine the amount of muscle mass that Tyson has, and then hitting that, and then like
no, but
because I wouldn't have took like if I guarantee on his weakest punch that he threw, none of us would be.
I'll tell you what. Hey, listen.
I'll be taking a long nap.
I tell you what, though.
Deep nap.
There was a couple shots that Mike threw that if these motherfuckers would have connected.
Oh, Roy might have been dead.
He might have knocked Roy out the ring. Like, there was a few of them. I was like, oh, shit. if he had connected that one, boy.
I kept just cracking up laughing. Because I'm watching, I'm like, Tyson still fucking got it. Like, what
bro,
in the
after
world?
The, after you can't lose that skill.
Listen,
bro,
bro,
after the first,
that strength and stuff usually
it's not even,
you do.
It's not
and
even
the quickness
it's
you
not even the,
do.
It's not even the skill. It's his movement.
Yeah,
he don't move like he's 54.
That's the skill part,
but,
though.
Well, listen. This is the thing that I explained to Tony because she doesn't know much about boxing, and I'm kind of just telling her a little bit about it or whatever. And for the people who don't know, I'm talking about my wife. I'm explaining it to her, like, the difference that I see, too, when you watch Tyson. So Tyson is – everything he does is in close.
Mm-hmm.
Everything Tyson does is tight.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Roy, a lot of other people, they're out wide. They're throwing, like, looping shots and this and that. All Tyson shit is so compact and so strength and, like, power-driven that it fucking is just a different animal than the average human being or even a average boxer or good boxer. It's just so different because – it's so controlled and so, like, where it's, like, he uses so much of his body in the shots that it's, like, and maybe that's why his still seems so much more powerful to where Roy Jones has always been a dude where it was almost like that shit was all in his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could just throw a fucking looping shot and just drop somebody. He could throw a certain, like, just a hook, uppercut.
Which
he did a lot of uppercuts.
Many, many times.
And drop somebody. But Tyson's shit is just so much where he's throwing his whole
body into it, tight,
controlled, like fucking detailed, precise.
That's why Roy kept throwing that jab to keep that from happening. Because if you get in close with Mike, bro, it's a wrap.
But Jesus, they also, man, they weren't really allowed to throw those kinds of punches because you're
Tyson was still throwing them.
Yeah, but you're, they
bro,
weren't.
That shit
they
wasn't stop nothing.
They weren't allowed to knock each other out.
Yes, they were.
They weren't. It
if
was
somebody would have went to sleep, it would. They just would have went to sleep.
I mean, yeah, but I think they pulled some of their punches because they weren't allowed to.
Mike how to pull punches.
Yeah, I don't think Mike when they were talking to him after.
I don't know
they have to promote it that way, like they're not
so that they're allowed to do it by
because
the state
there's
of
licensing
California.
Issues.
Yep. Yep.
Like if they promote that as a real fight, they would have to get a certain type of licensing.
Interesting.
But because they don't have that, or they weren't trying
that's
to
why
do
they
it.
Had
but
it.
Maybe
that's
what if
they
did knock each other out and then they would have gotten fined or something?
Just they would be like, oh, it was an accident.
Yeah.
They would have cleaned that up real quick.
I think they would have got fined.
And they would have made enough money.
Nah,
to
you can't
eat
fine
it.
Someone for getting knocked out.
No, I think they,
I mean,
could,
but
have,
if you,
they could have because of the restrictions, maybe.
Yeah, but it takes like 5 pounds of pressure to knock somebody out.
No, I know.
Yeah,
but
I mean, well,
they
like,
had
if
to,
they're professionals.
They
so,
had to
I mean,
do
you
a lot.
Expect something different.
They had to do a lot to even talk them into like being allowed to do it. No headgear and a lot of different things because
a whole lot of shit went
because
into
of
that.
Their age. So they had to do a lot of stuff with getting the licensing to really like.
I wonder. if this make is the people oldest think it was gonna professional be. Fight.
Possibly.
I doubt it, man.
But now after
I'm gonna try to look that up.
After the first Roy round, was just well, they both ago, was 50 though. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, but the fact that Roy was just fighting a minute ago, and a lot of other motherfuckers have like tried to come back just to make money.
I bet
there's been. Older.
I feel like
because if not, they would have been throwing that shit around like crazy.
I feel like George Foreman at some point may have came back to fight.
Right, right.
And he was older,
right.
But I don't know. But I know after that first round was over, I looked at my bro. My bro came over. I was like, "We gonna see Mike fighting again."
Yeah, and after it was over, that's exactly what he said.
He's gonna fight somebody again.
He said we're gonna do this all the time. He said we're gonna because. Then that's what the thing I was surprised about. I thought he was saying, like, other people when he was talking before the fight. And he's like, he pointed up to the thing. And he was like, you see, like, I started this thing, this League of Legends, I think is what it's called or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking he was saying, like, okay, like, I'm going to fight. I'm going to start it out. And then I'm going to give opportunity to these other, like, former boxers or people that maybe don't have ways to make money now. Like, I'm going to give them an avenue. You know what I'm saying? Like, just mm-hmm. being a good dude or whatever. But then when it's over, he's like, no, like, I'm fighting again. Like, I'll fight him again. Like, I want to fight him again. We should do this again.
Yeah.
And then Roy's just over there like, oh. Yeah.
Nah, hell nah. I'm never doing that
again. I
got to
talk to everybody in Pensacola first.
Right. Right. Now, there was, like, maybe, what was it, a couple years ago when the Wilder and Fury shit was still heightened.
Wait, by the way, George Foreman was 48 when he stopped.
Yeah, okay, that's a little younger.
It's still close as shit.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of people have fought around
and
that age.
Foreman was big as fuck, too.
Yeah.
But there was I think, I'm not sure, I'm not 100% sure that Deontay Wilder said that he could knock Mike Tyson out if they fought. But after seeing him fight Roy, them two niggas might happen.
Nah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Nah.
I would not be surprised if Mike was like, he said he could knock me out, let's go.
Nah.
I would not be surprised if they got in the ring.
He's too young, way taller, too much reach.
That means
like,
nothing. They're both heavyweights.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think you want to play that game with somebody that
Mike
young.
Mike would probably put
it's
on.
It's called League of Legends.
Mike would probably put 20 more pounds on to fight him.
But still, it's not League of mixture of
I'm just
current
saying,
young guys.
I'm just
legends.
Saying. I'm just saying. If that happens, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, Steve Ward, 61 years old when he was still active.
Damn.
Yeah, see what I mean?
61. The next oldest is 60, which is a Jack Johnson. And I'll give you
Jack Johnson,
you
that black
five.
Dude, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he's
yeah.
a black dude.
Man, he was beating motherfuckers up back in the 30s. I think it was the 30s.
Way back. I know that. Yeah. Sure.
After that, so that was he was 60. So then Larry Holmes is, this is the top three. He was 52. So if Roy Jones and Tyson,
they were
whatever
like
their age group.
51 and 54, I
okay,
think.
Was there... 51, 54, 50, so another 52, Dewey Bozella. He's from New York.
But anyways, there was dudes
Bernard
fighting,
Hopkins is 51.
And there was dudes
that's the top
fighting,
five.
There was dudes fighting at 60 is what you said, basically.
Yeah. Well, the one, everybody else is in the 50s, but that's only one dude was 60.
Would you want to see Wilder and Tyson?
Fuck no. That would scare me too bad that Tyson's going to get murdered in there.
Tyson's gonna
like,
get murdered.
Don't get me wrong. Wilder could get dropped too.
Wait. You
but
think,
I just don't
think Tyson's
see,
gonna get murdered.
No. I just not as in like I think he's gonna lose. I
who
just
you think would win?
I just don't want to see an old person get rocked like that because he's still an old person, man.
Yeah. Who do you think would win?
That's like me watching women boxing. I hate women boxing.
that's so tough, man. That's so tough to like say because their styles are so different because Wilder is so like. Outside with it and loose with his punches and all that, Tyson might run right up in his fucking chin and take his head off. But at the same time, with the reach that Wilder has and being so much younger, quicker, that's the thing that Roy didn't have that we don't know what Tyson would be able to do something with. Roy didn't have any of that quickness.
I'm not going to say that Wilder is quicker.
Then Tyson now?
Wilder is also bigger than him.
Then
like,
Tyson
a lot
now?
Bigger than him.
Bro, slap
I'm
yourself.
Not going to say he's quicker. I'm not going to say he's quicker.
Yeah, man, he's quicker.
I'm not going to say that.
You talking about a dude that's got lightning in his hands right now, man. Like, that's a dude. That's a young dude, man. I know he's like 30-something, but he's young, man.
He
like,
is young.
He's in his prime.
He is young, but the thing about
Dante. A lot of people don't know that. You know a lot of people don't know that,
the thing about Dante is he's not a boxer. He's a slugger. He gets off on haymakers connecting.
But he also has developed a lot of shit that even though he still looks somewhat sloppy when he does it, he's developed a lot of skill, man.
I wouldn't call it sloppy.
You saw it in the fucking Fury fights, man. Like he
got destroyed. Both fights. He lost both of those fights, bro.
Stop saying he got destroyed. Well,
the first one
was
the knock.
He dropped him.
The first
one, like,
the knockdowns.
Too much hyperbole.
The knockdowns are what saved him in that first fight. But aside from those knockdowns, he loses that fight.
Yeah, but Tyson Fury came back from the dead.
They gave him 15 seconds to get up.
That's what I'm saying. So really, Deontay won, and you're sitting here saying he got slaughtered.
Aside from that, he loses that fight.
Aside from the fact that he really won the fight, but I'm saying,
from a boxing standpoint, because Tyson
sounds like a Trump supporter to me.
Because Fury was getting him. Because Fury is a boxer.
Yeah, Fury was getting him on points, but
that's what I mean. Like, if he doesn't knock him down, that's not a draw.
But Deontay Wilder knocked him the fuck out, and he was dead.
They should have called it a knockout.
Yeah,
they legit gave him 15 seconds. Yeah,
a lot of people don't know that. Like, yeah. I didn't know it while I was watching it, but now I've seen so many of the videos now. They legit, like you said, almost 15 seconds on that 10 count.
That's some bullshit.
Like,
crazy.
He was done. Like, he was done. They just, I think, and that's the weird thing, too, with a ref. I mean, it's so, like, any ref can count different than the other one, you know what I'm saying? And, like, should
they technically? Nah, there's rules. Like, when they hit the ground, you start to count.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, it's so where you put it in their hands, you know what I mean? That's the fucked up thing about any kind of fighting.
That's the
any
other part, though. Like,
in general.
The referee can make that decision to stop the fight if they're counting. They can count to five and still stop the fight.
And
they can look into their eyes.
Too bad.
Yeah, they don't have to stay down there for a full 10 count or whatever. They have the power to stop that fight.
But they'll stop.
They can stop a fight if they're still standing. Mm-hmm. So, like,
but there's so much money in fighting and stuff like that, and so much shit that goes on behind the scenes, as like everybody have found out, like there's crazy corruption in fighting, and that's what made boxing die down real big for the longest time, is because like the corruption was just coming out left and right of how much shit was rigged and fixed and all
and
that.
And I tell you what, if Tyson actually does get knocked out by Wilder in the first fight, Tyson Fury, if he actually did get knocked out, part two might not even have happened. Or if it did, people really might not care that much about it, because that fight would have ended in a knock. The first one ended in a knockout. Because it ended in the draw, that made the second part so much better.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I'm getting at. That ref could have been paid extra to be like, hey, you keep this going as much as possible. You make this, you know what I mean, so we have a reason to make a second one as much as possible.
Right.
It's very, like, I'm not saying for sure, but when you see after the fact, this motherfucker counted 15 seconds for 10. And
just
like with
Floyd and Pacquiao, they made everybody wait so many years for that fight to happen. And they made like $350 million off of that motherfucker.
But, and then the crazy thing that people
that's the crazy amount of. I mean,
the
like,
fight was ass, but they
like
both
it?
Got paid. No, because they both was older. We wanted them to fight
when
5 years
prior
to
that
fight.
Yeah, but I think that's still the matchup. I mean, I don't know.
It was still decent.
It's the name.
It was decent.
Yeah,
it's the name.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the McGregor fight, but I wanted to switch gears and talk about how, I guess, the reactions from people who watched the fight, like. Going into it, you know, you had a lot of, I guess, rappers and stars and stuff. Like, the main thing, the theme was do it for the culture for Nate. Because we didn't talk about Nate. We talked about just Tyson and what's his name. But, I mean, we did talk about it a little bit. But going into the fight, it was against, you know, YouTube celebrity. Like, he's a quote-unquote bad boy of YouTube. Like, he's been in some shit. I don't really care to go into it or whatever because I don't really care about him. But
I didn't know he was from Cleveland.
Yeah,
I didn't know either until like I feel like maybe somebody might have mentioned before, but it was.
I usually root for Ohio people.
After that,
right. Oh, from Cleveland. Okay, what's up there, bro?
I usually always root for somebody from Ohio or whatever. But what do y'all think about, like, because you know we're a mixture here, about doing it for the culture? So like in boxing, I guess I want to feel like what Aaron thinks about it, because when. Black people talk about like doing it for the culture. It really is a big deal when like a black dude gets beat up by a white person. Do you have and like you are completely exempt from any kind of feelings or whatever from like sounding like racist or whatever?
No, I'm not.
Wait a minute. It's funny you say that, because that makes me think of a song that we used to sing like back in elementary school. Do you remember that song? A fight, a nigga in the white. The nigga don't win, then we all jumping in. You don't remember that song?
That vaguely sounds familiar. Oh, vaguely sounds familiar.
I used to hear that shit in elementary school.
Well, so growing up, I always remembered that when black people fought, it was just like whoever your homie was, whatever, didn't matter. But I guess for me, being black, if you got beat up by a white dude,
that does make it a little worse.
It was bad.
Yeah. It's always been the same way, like with sports, like me playing ball and stuff like that too. I've heard the same thing. Like if I'm like busting somebody's ass in the game, or like, or if somebody is playing,
man, some white boy killing you, man.
Or somebody plays one on one, they lose to a white dude.
How have you felt about that?
I mean, it's not, to me, it doesn't bother me as bad as it probably would some people because it's more normal to me. I've always heard that this is where I grew up, but at the same time, it's weird sometimes when you hear it, like it's still another motherfucking man.
What's crazy to me is like I'll use basketball as that example. You can use almost any sport as an example because it all started off with white people playing the sport, and then like when in the 60s when black people were able to play basketball, or late 50s when they were playing basketball. It was like, okay, now they're allowed to play the game. But then it like slowly
and then
changed.
It was over for white people.
It slowly changed over the years where it became predominantly black. Boxing the same. Mm-hmm. Black people weren't allowed to fight white boxers.
Jack Johnson, I think, was the first black heavyweight.
And so then, like now, it became predominantly black.
Well, I think it's actually predominantly Hispanic, which is even crazier. But it's kind of – and they kind of base it off
– it's big.
They kind of base it off what I've heard. This is what I've heard, is that it's because it's more of a poverty.
Poverty
you're more
sport.
Likely to go into boxing from poverty.
Interesting.
That's why you don't see a lot of black people playing lacrosse or hockey. It's not because they don't like it.
I actually
motherfucker, them is rich. Yeah. Them is rich.
Expensive
sports.
Ass sports.
I had a conversation with somebody about
that. And not that black people don't have money. It's just saying.
No,
like,
they don't. That's why they don't play hockey or lacrosse.
Yeah, somebody
they
had
play,
told me.
They play. Growing up in the hood,
I'm
they play.
Let you say some bullshit like that.
I mean, no, but the best athletes come out the hood.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Grow up in the hood. I'm saying they ain't got no money. They're playing basketball. Basketball's easy. All you need is a pair of shoes.
And a
fucking milk crate.
I had a conversation with a guy about that. Like, they said that black people will always dominate anything that doesn't require. Extra purchases. I think that's how he said it. And it, like the way he said it,
that's
was
a fact though.
Yeah. And I was like, that's a bar for real. Cause like all we needed was a ball.
Yeah.
If it was a ball, then cool. We could
make
it.
A
we
rim.
Ain't got to worry about it.
You could use I've used a bicycle rim. Like I've taken all the spokes out.
Yeah.
I've used that.
He was
fucking milk crates.
Yeah. Oh, my dad had the milk crates up at our house when we were a kid. Like he would drill the fucking milk crates into our wall in the basement. Into the block.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like to be down there playing one on one, punching each other in the face at the end and everything.
Yeah. So it's crazy to kind of think about it that way. Any extra equipment that you need, then you are going to be the outlier. If you were able to afford that extra equipment, you're going to be the outlier in that sport if you're black, because every time you entered it, then like other kids your age, and even like football pads and stuff, like that was an expense.
Let me ask y'all this: if there's a box, if y'all watching a boxing match, it's a black dude and a white dude, you don't know who neither one of them is. Are you rooting for the white dude or are you rooting for the black dude?
I'll answer first since both of y'all are looking at me. But no bullshit, because y'all know me and y'all know I'm straightforward. To me, there's so many other factors that are involved. So to me, usually sometimes I'll fuck with the underdog. To me, it's more about like their personality. So like
you got to know their stats.
Yeah, well, and I guess if I don't know, if you're
you don't know who
like,
either
if you're
one of
like
them
I
is.
Just flip it on. It's still kind of like I might judge it off like how they move, coordination, shit like that. Because you know basketball. When I watch somebody play or two people play, like I want to see the dude that looks like he's got it more figured out or more skill or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and not because I'm not fucking with the underdog for being the underdog, but just sometimes you just respect, at least me, I respect the person more that has a little bit more skill or coordination or has put more time into it. So usually that's how I am. Usually it's just like if I can see somebody is a little bit more technical, that's who I want to see do well because I expect that from them.
Mm. I immediately root for the black dude. until if I start watching it or something, I've watched I don't remember the names now, but I've watched boxing before and I've immediately rooted for the black dude, and then like I'll look up their information or whatever, and sometimes I might change my mind, but not common that I change it. But if I were but even if they're fighting like somebody Hispanic or something, like whatever it is,
that's kind of where I'm at with it. Because if the black dude loses, I'm gonna be salty.
Yeah, all the time.
Like,
I'd be
a little salty. Like,
I swear,
damn, brother,
it's just the way that I grew
up.
Come
on, black man.
Exactly.
Like, I'm rooting for him regardless.
Like
if he's boxing a white dude from Oklahoma or. Find somebody from Poland or Mexico. Like, I'm rooting for the black dude. Yeah.
I would go by familiarity too. If I had already knew, I'm trying to think about white.
I'm not talking about familiarity.
I know. I'm just
you
saying,
don't know
like,
who either one of these motherfuckers is.
One thing that you just said that made me think of something. What if it's a black dude? So black dude from America black dude from Africa.
Black dude from America.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just more whoever black you American. Can relate to the most.
Yep, black American.
I got you.
And that one I'm not choosing.
Yeah, exactly. If you make me choose, I'll go to the black dude from the USA.
And I'm always making you choose in the first place.
Well, I'll already root for USA no matter what. So whatever the sport is or whatever it's in, then if the white dude was fighting a black dude and the white dude is from the USA and the black dude was from somewhere else, I'd probably root for. So that would override me rooting for a black dude.
Then you're just fucking with America.
Yeah.
There was a fight that night, matter of fact. I think it was a dude from, I think he was Puerto Rican. I think he's fighting this African dude. I was rooting for the African dude, but he was getting pounded. Like, that Puerto Rican dude was nice.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't even, in that case, if neither one of them from the U.S., I wouldn't even care.
One thing that's weird is when I was younger, I used to almost always root against the white dude right off the bat. Because I dislike so much that people would do that, especially white people that I knew would always be like, they wanted to fuck with the one white dude on the basketball team.
Ain't that weird how it sounds? Like, if I was to hear like a white dude, like really like, yeah, whoop his ass. Like, I would feel some type of way. I don't even know. That's just deep inside of me. I would feel upset. Like,
so what do you think on the flip side? So what do you think on the flip side? Do you think a white person should feel that way?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not white. I can't even imagine how that would feel. But in my mind,
I would like it.
Beat his ass. Like, I was watching.
You would like that the white person is rooting for the white person?
No, that the white person is rooting against the white person.
Oh, like when I was younger.
I'd like that.
He was saying, how should a white person feel if the black dude is rooting for the black dude to whoop that white dude's ass?
They shouldn't feel any kind of
way. And then
it's nothing personal.
But I'm saying, like, I feel something.
It doesn't mean I want to whoop your ass.
But if I was to hear a white dude say that about the white boxer, like, yeah, beat his ass. Like, I would feel something. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's my point.
I think it's saying that if y'all was white, you would feel some type of way.
I'd look over at him like with a side eye. Like,
yeah, you ruined a little too hard.
Like, you ruined too hard, bro.
No doubt.
So this is a true story. I was over. It was a white party with watching the McGregor fight. I was the only black dude there. And so we're all watching.
It was all rooting against Floyd.
Yes. That's how
that entire thing went though.
But I'm calm. Wait, listen. So I'm calm throughout the whole thing, and then as soon as it's like official that he won, I am just like, I have so much ego in my face. I'm just like, yeah, beat his ass. That's exactly what he did. He won. I'm talking all kind
of
shit.
But if you think about it, I won't say all the biggest fights, but a lot of the biggest fights, that's what they've catered to. So like the Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, the Floyd and McGregor, whatever. Mm-hmm. The ones that get the most attention are where they pin a fucking black dude versus a white dude.
Yeah.
And then they get a lot of fans that aren't even really fans or don't even really give a fuck about boxing or the fight or anything. But they want to root for the white dude or they want to root for the black dude. And I've seen that shit myself as well, too. Like, don't fuck with that person. Like,
right.
I feel like don't fuck with that person just because of that. I feel like you should have a reason to fuck with them. But at the same time, to each his own, you're going to do what you're going to do regardless. But my thought, I've always just been a person where I need something from them. I need something from them to root for them. I need to have some kind of respect for either their skill or their mentality, mindset, who they are as a person. Something randomly that I can latch on to and be like, okay, that's why I want you to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny? Like, I'll see one of those fights where a black dude and a white dude fighting, and the black dude's getting his ass whooped, and I get too emotionally invested.
Yes. I've done that.
And then it tears you down.
I'll be screaming like, come on, man. Yeah. What are you doing?
I think I was watching MMA.
Get your guard up.
I was watching MMA one time, and that happened to me.
Yeah.
Dude was getting his ass whooped. But I also have seen this. There's this one real cocky guy, and I don't remember his name. But he has this weird fighting style where he sticks one arm way out here and the other one, and he's like wiggling like a snake kind of.
MMA?
Yes, MMA.
Sounds like Anderson Silva.
Silva. I think it's Silva.
He's nice, though.
Super he is. He is. But
he was nice.
One, like, one of the best ever.
Yeah.
I was watching a fight, and then somebody beat his ass, and I was like, yeah, you cocky motherfucker. Like, when somebody's, like, super cocky,
Remember who it was.
Yeah.
He just got his ass whooped by the young cat that was commentating the fights. Stylebender. The young black dude, Adesanya.
He's nice.
Yeah, super nice. He fought Silva because Silva still wanted to fight, still like, and it was
he thought
like,
he could fuck with him?
He thought he could fuck with him, and Stylebender fucked him up, man. He's like, nice. He didn't knock him out and shit, but he was whooping on it. Like, just, and that was a, so that was like a prime example of what you're talking about, of why I don't technically want to see like Tyson and Deontay Wilder, is because it was kind of one of those situations. We know Silva is an animal, but he's older. He's out of his prime, this and that, whatever. And then even with Adesanya, he's a lighter dude, like not as heavy, not as strong, this and that, whatever. But just the fact that he has that youth, he was busting his ass, man.
And he's nice. He was can, like, busting he can his fight, fucking fight face too. Up,
man.
Like
he's 45 right now.
Silva. Yeah. And he's a legend. Like I said, he's like a lot of people, a good amount of people that really fuck with MMA consider him one of the best or the best of all time.
And he is the oldest in the UFC right now.
Yeah. I mean, he just fought Stylebender like last year.
Yeah.
Like it might even been in 2020.
I feel like I don't remember that.
But I think it was last year. Yeah, it was bad, man. It was bad. He fucked him up. But anyways, back to what we were saying. Like, I think that's all like interesting ass topic to bring up, of course, because it's a really weird thing to say. Like, oh, like I have a dog in the fight, even when I don't have a dog in the fight. Yeah. Type shit. Or I have a horse in the racing when I don't have a horse. In the
I think most black people. I don't want to be too general, but I think most black people feel like when there's a black person in it, that's their dog in the fight.
I wonder if black people from other countries feel that same way. You think so?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Like from Africa?
From anywhere. Just coming up in a different environment.
From everything that I've heard, Africans hate us.
Like hate Americans in general.
Like black Americans.
Yeah.
I got you.
From what I've heard.
Like great people from the UK and stuff. Like
I think people from UK hate everybody regardless.
I don't know.
They're mad because their teeth are bad.
God damn. That's fucked up. That's not where I was going.
I got family over there. I can say shit. Just
that
like
don't
y'all
mean
can
it's okay.
But I'm white, man. No, I can say that the same way y'all can say shit.
No, we got a black card. You don't got no UK card, nigga.
In a way, right? Ain't that where I'm from? Kind of technically.
No.
My family's Irish.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Yeah.
Ireland, not UK.
Yeah.
I got you.
But I think they just think we're just savages regardless. Like that whole country.
I think they just think that we're ungrateful for what we have, which we are. But I think we're...
And they think we're improper.
Oh, for sure. I think all of the negative superlatives that people think about the United States, I think that we are 100% embodied.
A lot of them are true.
They're 100%. True. 100%. It's like, fuck America. They are this, that. Look, Al-Qaeda, fucking agree with you, but don't blow me the fuck up. Right. Let me be, bitch. Right. Like,
I've heard a lot of people from other countries that have moved over here shit talk about, or people that travel a lot and that are from other countries stuff say, like, you can spot an American from a mile away in almost any other country because they're usually the only ones that are either, like, super overweight or wear, like, some type of sports jersey or a baseball hat.
Yep.
Or a baseball hat.
They make it sound so trash. Yeah.
We are trash,
but
bro.
But when you plug those things in, it is like, damn, like almost all of us are overweight. Yeah. Almost all of us wear hats. Almost all of us, what was the other thing I said?
We all wear jerseys.
It doesn't matter.
Wear some kind of sports, memorabilia type. Yeah.
Look, I got a hoodie on right now.
we definitely like to let you know where we're from, for sure.
Especially if you're from New York.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you trying to say?
Brooklyn in particular. Yeah.
Whoever we root for.
He said Brooklyn. Whoever we're from.
Especially if you're from Brooklyn. You got to tell
anywhere
everybody
in New York.
Every
Brooklyn
5 minutes
at,
you
no,
from
we're
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn
New York in general. Anytime you ever talk to somebody from New York, you ain't got to. It don't matter what you're talking about. You can talk about a recipe to some food, and they're going to be like, motherfucker, I'm from New York. We make it like this. We do it like this. Like,
New York is
bro, what the fuck does that got to do with this?
New York is the vegan of the world. Like, I'm from New York. Did nobody ask you, motherfucker?
Right,
like,
uppity motherfuckers.
Everybody quiet. I'm from New York. Who the fuck asked him where the fuck he's from? But
that's funny.
What else happened this week? How was it mainly? Thanksgiving, boxing?
I think Nate took it over, man. He fucking took over the whole week.
He took over the internet.
It took over the internet. And
Internet is undefeated, man.
I seen that.
The memes were quick.
The memes
quick.
Were quick.
And there's an abundance of
them. Which is sad though, man. Like we love somebody's downfall.
There's no shortage of memes about that fight.
One of the funniest things I've seen was what Ike put, where he put, "We the black delegation would like to trade Nate Robinson for Jake Paul."
Oh,
he put in parentheses, "The dude that just knocked him out."
Yeah.
Or just put him to bed.
Yeah. Oh, I know what something happened last week. Since we had podcasted.
What was that? What show was that from where they were doing that? The draft, the racial draft.
Dave Chappelle.
I got you. Literally, is what I was bringing up. When you whatever happened, what happened last week was Dave Chappelle had when he went. So after Saturday Night Live, we had did a podcast after that. But then after that, since that, he had did another stand up in front of a crowd, and I don't even know what this was really about because it was only 15 minutes long, and he was telling everybody to boycott the Chappelle
show.
Yeah. And I thought that's a dope ass move. That's a boss move too, because he's recognizing his stature and status right now, and saying, look, pay me for my shit. You didn't have to pay me because of the contract, but now fuck that contract. Pay me for all the royalties and everything that I'm supposed to get. If not, then I want all of my followers to boycott it.
And then they took it down like the next day.
No, that's separate. He did it. So Netflix, he was talking about why he fucks with Netflix.
Yeah,
he
Netflix is the one that took it down.
He wants it off of other platforms. Netflix, he had went to and had a conversation with. But he wants Comedy Central to take it down and stop airing. He wants Comedy Central to pay him. They licensed it out to HBO and all these other platforms. Yeah. But since he has contracts with Netflix, when he said that he had a problem with it, they took it down immediately.
Right.
So then he did a special, a 15-minute little stand-up.
Oh, boycotting it everywhere?
Where he asked everybody.
I thought that was just for Netflix. Nah. I didn't know it was everywhere else.
No, it's everywhere else.
Oh.
And so he told, in that stand-up, he had told everybody that, since they won't give me my money, I'm going to take it. And like, it was a passionate ass like stand up. Like, you know, in Dave's new style of being humorous, factual, intellectual, and, you know, giving you a good story. I mean, he just presented it so well that like,
have y'all ever heard how much his show made?
But I know it's one of the biggest.
I heard
it was their biggest show.
I heard I heard Cat Williams say something. I'm not sure how true it was, but it was the only number that I actually heard. He said that that show made like $500 million.
Damn.
And it had like largely exceeded their expectations.
Oh yeah, they tried to get him not to make it initially, from what I heard, and then when he started doing shit, they were telling him that it was too crazy, like it was too controversial, a lot of the shit that
he
was doing.
I think his deal was, I don't know, maybe $30 million. I don't know. For
50
whatever
million.
Reason that's what they offered him. Because the show did better than they projected. So they offered him 50, thinking that'd be okay. Nah, bro, you just made that.
500.
You made 500.
You made it 10 times.
And you offered me 50? Mm-hmm. Nah, bro, you're going to have to come off at least 250 of that.
Yeah, I can't find the actual number.
But if it was 500 and they offered him, like, that's fucked up. And then the smear campaign came. He's crazy. He wants to go to Africa just to smoke weed. Like, no, he's not taking your money because he has integrity.
It's crazy because
he actually talked to. So in that 15-minute stand-up, he talked about that, and he's talked about it in interviews since. He's talked also about it with Dave Letterman on my next guest. Doesn't need any introduction. Y'all watch that?
That's on Netflix.
That Letterman special.
Yeah,
yeah. I was just telling. I think I was trying to tell you all about that last time. That shit's dope.
You did tell us about
that.
That
shit is dope.
He also mentioned
good ones on there, man.
Yeah, for sure. He has some good interviews, and they're. I like the format of it.
Yeah, and he's going like to their area, like I said with Chappelle and shit. He went there to what's it called, Springs, Yellow Springs, whatever it's called, where he's from and where he was doing his little stint.
Were you going to ask a question about Dave? Because you brought that up, but then we kind of just
I know I was
talking about other shit.
I was going to. I can't remember what I was going to say now. I was bringing it up because that happened this past week, and I thought that was kind of I thought it was dope, really. So I was just kind of – I guess I was just
– It's crazy for sure. It's weird because it kind of almost reminds me of the Budden shit where, like, it just – his show exceeded so much of what Spotify expected. So he's like, you know what I mean, I want more because of what it's done. And then they're trying to play games. He's like, all right, well, I'm out then.
Yeah. You know, that's a funny thing about –
and now you hear all that shit Spotify going through. It's not looking good for them.
Really?
Yeah. There's battles with artists. They don't want to pay none of the artists of music that they play and shit like that.
That's crazy.
It's a whole debacle over there.
I have to look that up.
Yeah.
But they I think it brings up an interesting thought process with how people in general are treated and how money is treated, because you have a lot of majority of people that don't feel comfortable asking for what they feel their value is worth. And I think the way that he's doing it and going about it is a bold move. And like, there's other comedians that have spoke
is
out
it
on it.
Is it bold though?
I think so.
That comes from?
When you, I
his
think
his intelligence.
I'm gonna answer that first real quick before you go into that deeper. The reason
why
what
I mean is, do you know why people are afraid to ask what they're worth? Do you know where that fear comes from?
I don't. I think that's I think it's really American for us to not ask about our worth. I think like we make money so taboo here. I don't know how it is in other countries. I just know, I feel like what I hear from just everybody, I feel like money is really a taboo subject here. Like you're not supposed to talk about how much you make or ask for extra money or for, you know, whatever. Like, I just know that that's always been a thing. But why I think that the move is bold is because when you are a single person and you take on an entire network in that way so loudly, it's,
I love seeing shit like
that. I love it. That's why I said it's bold.
I love it.
But you don't, see think other it's people. Bold. Well, I only say it's bold because who else has done that?
Well, bold would mean like, okay, well, I get what you're saying. But my thing is that people aren't asking for what they're worth because they're afraid of losing everything that
exactly.
they could get.
Yeah.
And they're not betting on, they're not confident they're in themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, so if, I don't know how much like they asked for from Spotify, but I'm pretty sure they asked for more than what their initial deal was.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to dick around with them. Like, nah, we're good. Well, okay, that's fine. Yeah. Y'all do whatever y'all do. We're going to take our business over there, elsewhere, wherever the fuck we're going to go. We're going to make some shit happen over there.
Yeah. I've had employees that have that put me in a position like that where they wanted more money. And at the time, the money wasn't there for me to just be able to, like, oh, yeah, cool, I'll give you more money. Like, right. I had a whole bunch of expenses. I was paying for so much stuff. You know, all the supplies for them that they were kind of like going through. Like, it was a lot, like a huge financial burden for me at the time.
Yeah, but not being able to and not being willing to is two different
right.
things.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I get that because I'm relating that because I can understand how, as a business, you can get into the economics of it of, okay, I already bet on you, right? I agreed to this amount of money. With it being successful, since I'm the one that made the bet on you, then I'm the one that should recoup. I can understand that mentality. I'm not saying that that's right or fair or whatever, but I can understand it because when you have, like using my employee, I can only use employees. So when they're doing well and everything is going good, that's my expectation. I expect the company to grow based on employees. Every company expects that. So when the money then becomes better than whatever the employee initially is making, I understand the mindset of it's going to be hard for me to just go say, hey, let's just open all my wallet and then pay all that. Like, that's just not the normal format.
For you.
For any business,
you
really.
You're not a Fortune 500 company.
But for any business. Like,
yeah, you have to be careful with just assuming that everybody's so different. It kind of goes into what you were saying kind of before upstairs as well, too, is like I never totally really thought about it. And when Brandon said it, I'm like, damn, yeah, you do have to kind of remember that sometimes, too, where people say like, oh, this company is a multi-billion dollar company or whatever. They mm-hmm. got this. And it's like, you don't know how maybe stupid they are with their money. You don't know if
all
they,
the expenses if
they,
that they have,
if they all the expenses they have, where they maybe like say in a situation like Chappelle. I don't know because I'm just talking here.
Yeah, we're just
bullshit.
Talking. Yeah.
But in that situation, say because they thought his show wasn't going to do that well, they didn't throw much money and random shit at it or the advertising for it or whatever. But they had some other show that they threw crazy money at that they thought was going to be great.
That's not
and
his fault.
It's not his fault. But it also maybe doesn't mean that they didn't fuck off all that money that then he could have been thought they had to pay him or something like that. I'm not saying that's a scenario, but I'm saying with what Brandon said earlier, that made me think about that. Like, just because someone makes a ton of money doesn't mean that you know for sure that they're handling it right to be able to, like, okay, because they're making more, then they can pay more.
And the expectation of what that money is being used for. When a company makes money, then you then say, all right, now we can afford to do this. We can afford to elevate our brand, our company, our whatever.
Advertise more, buy more space, buy better equipment.
Allow them to then get more shows.
Hire more employees.
Well,
hold on. As where I would agree with you on, if those things took place and they were able to use profits from his show to then produce other shows and to then grow and elevate their brand, I can then agree with you and say, like, yeah, they definitely should owe him, you know, extra just on the backs of that from some of that profit. I'm just saying I can understand the economics behind it and say, okay, I can understand it, not only to agree with it, but I can understand how when it comes to the money in that way where it's hard to be like, shit, yeah, I do gotta pay that. Yeah, you're right. You know what I mean? Like, I can understand where it's hard. Except for this situation because it's TV and I don't know shit about contracts or anything like that where I don't, you know, where he could have been owed money or how that would go into a separate bucket or how they allocated the funds or whatever.
So from what he said of it, does he have any kind of like legal action about it?
Doesn't.
Or he just feels like they should.
He feels that they should. And yeah, see, he said they won't give it to him. Because he signed the contract, so they don't have to.
Technically, they don't owe him anything.
Yeah.
They owe him what they already paid him.
Right. He was signed on.
I feel very much like what Brandon's saying. Like, damn, like it'd be dope if they did to maybe like reestablish that relationship and then maybe do some more shit with Chappelle going forward or this and that, whatever. But at the same time, if they signed a contract, they were signing that knowing that. You know what I mean? Like, these people on the other
end. They took a chance on that show. HBO passed on it. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was also mad at. Like, HBO passed on the show, and now they're playing it on their fucking platform. Like,
I got you.
Fuck y'all. But like, all of that, when Comedy Central licensed it to all these other platforms, he still didn't get nothing. So they're able to make money off of his name, his likeness, his show. The fucking show is titled his name. He cannot have another Chappelle show because they own the rights to that.
Damn. Yeah.
So that's what he's talking about. Like, all of that shit that
he's
owed.
That's the part that just sucks about, like, people signing into shit that they don't necessarily know what they're signing into or not knowing what it's going to turn into.
Yeah, he's an artist, not a human. He's not Dave Chappelle. He is the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's, you know, he signed the agreement as. And so they own all of that around him. And, you know, he's not making money off of that. And it's like, you can't make money off of your own name.
That's why I fuck with LeVar Ball so much.
Exactly.
I fucking love that dude, bro. That's why I fuck with him so much.
Yeah.
Because he says, fuck everybody. I don't need none of y'all. I'm going to do this shit my fucking self.
Yeah. I like that aspect of him. I can't fuck with him because of some of the, like, over-the-top cockiness shit he said where, like, he'll beat Jordan one-on-one and some of this dumb shit.
Who gives
but that's
a fuck?
All promo type
shit.
Yeah,
that's all
I understood that. I understood that more the longer I saw of him, of course. You know what I mean?
I want to, if I'm him,
but for that
I want to stay in the media as much as possible.
Right, right.
What's the weirdest shit I can say today that they're going to follow and retweet and re-say and then re-talk about over and over again to keep me in the media so I can make sure that y'all are then looking at my sons who I need to get into the NBA?
I guess
everybody is going to watch LaMelo next year.
Nigga, me, I can't wait.
The funny thing about it is you're going to have people who watch him who want him to succeed.
I do.
And you're going
to
have
want him to kill,
then you're, probably going to have more people that are watching him hoping that he fails.
That he fails.
Because they hate LeVar.
So I just.
Either way, they're watching. There's people tuning in. If they open the arenas, there's people in the seats.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I just saw a video, an interview with him. I didn't even notice his growth spurt, bro. Like,
oh, yeah.
That nigga went from 6'2 to like 6'8 in
like
2 years.
He's taller.
I think he's the tallest one now.
Yes, he's the tallest one. Yes.
I think he's taller than Lonzo.
Yes, he's taller than 100%.
Maybe.
I just seen a photo.
Maybe.
Yes. No, that's
is Lonzo taller than Jello?
That's 100%.
Jello's like 6'5 or something.
It's 100%.
And Lonzo's like
6'6. I'll pull up a picture. I'm going to pull up a picture for you.
I'm sure we can pull up their actual height.
I think Melo's 6'7. I think him and Lonzo are around the same height.
I got you.
I don't know who's taller. But.
Well, the crazy thing, I mean, and he seems like the best shooter. He seems like.
No, I think LeVar always talks about that Jello's the best shooter.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he just can't make it work. He just can't find a place, find a home.
I don't know where he is. I think he's in the G League. Well, I don't know, but I'm not sure.
I know he was for a while. He's done a lot of shit overseas. Yeah.
So his current height is 6'8".
For LaMelo?
Melo.
God damn.
He, last time I seen him, homeboy was 6 foot, like playing in the damn pros overseas.
Yeah.
And then 6'8"?
I knew something was up when I saw like
that's
clips
nuts.
Where he was like barely dunking. To then all of a sudden he
catching
was like
oops
catching
and
oops and shit
tip
on people.
Dunks.
And I'm like, yeah, he is.
But he had mad hops too.
Well, I'm like, he's hitting an age where he could really be coming into his athleticism and his strength and shit like that or whatever. But it just was a big difference where I'm like, oh, nah, he's that motherfucker's getting long too.
He looks more mature. Everything about him, like, I'm so happy for now because he was such a fuck. Like, because I love
like
their
little kid. It looked like he got slapped in the
face. I love the Facebook show that they had.
Well, do you know why he seems so mature now?
Why?
One of his closest friends is 40 years old.
Really?
Yeah, his high school coach, trainer, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he hangs out with
him. Well, not to mention, imagine how much stuff he's seen and been through now this early. Like, going and playing overseas.
Playing against grown men.
Playing against grown-ass men.
As a kid.
Traveling the world.
As a fucking teenager.
Yeah, yeah. Like, throwing away college to go play pro. Fucking watching his brother go through going to the league and all this. He's seen some shit already.
He's seen a lot of shit, yeah.
Yeah. And
I can't wait.
And just for the record, LiAngelo is 6'5".
Okay.
And Lonzo is 6'6".
Yeah, so it's exactly what you said.
Yeah, I called it. Y'all should just listen to him.
When you I'm saying it for the people on listen.
You know that's how Brent always feels. Y'all should just listen to everything. We should just listen to everything he says. You know?
I didn't question it because I knew how tall he was because I seen the picture. But you like to argue with every fact that's ever brought up. So I wanted to make sure we pulled it up. If we had the projector, we would be shown on the screen. But,
No doubt.
But I wanted to make that. But yeah, I can't wait. Did he?
He went to the Hornets.
He got drafted second or third, right? Third.
Yeah, to the Hornets. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who the fuck is over there. I don't
know either. Yeah, still at the Hornets.
Yeah, I don't even know.
It's gonna be a tough going.
That might be his team now.
It will be. It's gonna be a tough season.
Might be his team now.
You think he's gonna have like a LeBron James showing? Like
expectation
like his
or
rookie
showing?
Year?
Yeah.
Expectation, hell no. But showing, I wouldn't be surprised. Man, he's got all this experience playing against grown men already, and he's 6'8".
Yeah. Because
the only thing is the difference is that the speed and the strength is different in the league than other leagues.
Speed might be different. Strength, I don't know.
I think
strength is different.
I think European players would be
stronger.
Well,
hold on. I'm throwing it off. Not strength, physicality.
Oh, interesting.
I think it might be more physical over there.
Yeah,
I think it's more physical. I think it's more
physical.
Watching
the games, it looked
like it's more physical in a dirty way. I don't think it's more physical in actually like so many of the dudes that you're actually coming up against are always physical.
It's not physical in the NBA anyway.
That's true.
Not into the playoffs anyway.
And then
they let you play a little physical.
The reason why I asked that question is
I always forget that.
The reason why I asked that question about the showing is because he's already played with people that age group and that skill set. So I wonder if he would have an upper hand.
It also depends on how much opportunity he has. I don't know what role or position he's going to play.
Yeah. He hasn't played against college players.
I imagine he's going to be a two guard. I would imagine.
He went from playing with high school people to adults already to then the NBA.
He can play the point, too.
But do you want him bringing the ball up?
I don't know.
As an NBA
because,
coach.
Because, I mean, I don't know. Because
depends on who they got, right?
He loves to score, and he can score really, really good. So I don't know where they're going to have him at. So I can't sit up there and say that he's going to come out there and drop 25, 10, and 7. I don't know what they're going to have him doing.
I can dig it.
But, I mean, I know I'm going to fucking watch.
Yeah, me too.
I want to see him do well. I really do. Even though I don't really fuck with his dad or like that. I mean, I understand his dad. But
I love his dad.
But I don't super fuck with him or
he's
whatever.
He's one of my favorite people.
I was tripping. I saw a little clip with him where Shannon Sharp had him on the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And was talking to him and shit and like showing him when he, I guess he actually made two different NFL rosters.
Yeah.
And they were showing like a picture of him kind of pretty built and cut up. And of course he was saying that he was way stronger and lifting more in the combines than a lot of the dudes.
Yeah,
and shit like that. Like I said, it might have been, but since it's him, I didn't know what to really think. Like you said, like whether it was just for the attention or what he was really saying. But even just to know that he made it to the league and shit like that, and he was saying like the one thing I didn't like about that, which don't get me wrong, this happens, but he was kind of blaming coaching changes and shit like that
That has a lot to do with a lot of shit though,
It does and it doesn't. Because also you got to think about how many people have had fucked up coaching situation and still made it because either they worked that hard or they're that dope or that determined or whatever.
Everybody's not a superstar.
Everybody's not. I'm not also saying he's a superstar. I'm saying even a bench guy. There's guys that have made it through fucked up situations.
You
got
to think about this. Like a new coach comes in. This new coach didn't draft nobody on that team. And then they come in, they're looking to draft certain other players to do certain other things. They will look to get rid of certain players to make room for what they're looking for.
But for that reason, then when he moved to another team or go somewhere else or whatever, something like that, you would think that he would find a way somewhere else to make it. You get what I'm saying?
It's still opportunity,
man. If he was that nice to be there.
It's still opportunity.
But you're saying for sure he's going to go to the Hornets?
He's already drafted.
So what's the craziest thing is they have never won a championship.
The Hornets?
Never.
That's not crazy. There's a lot of NBA teams who've never won a championship.
No, the point is
the same ones that win it all the time, honestly.
Yeah.
What I'm getting to is the crazy thing is not that they never won a championship. The crazy thing is he has such potential that is that a good move?
For who?
For Melo.
He has no
to
choice.
To go to the Hornets?
He has no choice.
I mean, I know, but I'm just saying like Is that good for him? Not like I know they don't got a choice. I'm just saying, like, is that good?
It's tough to say.
It
man.
Depends on the coach, man.
Well, since they've never won a championship, do you feel like that's just a throwaway?
A throwaway what?
Like, do you feel like it's a
waste
of his time?
It's NBA playing time. NBA playing time is never a waste of time.
Right, but I think he's also saying, like, is it going to put him off on a bad foot to where he doesn't really maybe get to the potential where he could go if he was drafted to a good
team. You also
well, you're not going to be drafted to a good team high.
High pick.
You're not going to be a third pick drafted
unless
to a good
just
team.
Some random unless, lucky shit.
Unless that team got a trade pick a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It depends
like
on
when
the coach.
The Pistons took Darko Milicic.
Yeah, depends. It depends on the coach.
You couldn't even name a good player on Charlotte.
there's one dude I can't remember.
So
his
I was
name
just saying,
is,
like, is
but
that
I don't
like
know
a,
who's on that team?
Is that like a waste? Is that like
I also
is that like putting
him
in the back of the line and saying like, oh, okay, you sit over there.
Like, I also haven't seen the Hornets in a year. Like, they didn't make it to the bubble.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Last
so
time
I
they were
don't
there
remember.
Was 2003,
and I wasn't watching them that much to begin with. But they had this one dude. I think his last name is Miles. Something Miles. He's like a real athletic guy. But I don't know who they have on their team. But
who would you have wanted to see him go to?
I don't have a preference. What I would like to see is him and Lonzo play together.
You're talking about Miles Bridges.
Miles Bridges, yeah. He's actually good.
I think it would have been dope for him to go to Washington. I think would see what maybe like Jordan kind of like being in his ear a little bit.
Damn, what trade did I miss that Gordon Hayward's on their team now?
He's with Atlanta, ain't he?
He's with the Hornets.
The Hornets. Oh, yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was here on ESPN's roster, sir.
Yeah, it was the Hornets. Yeah, his days were numbered ever since Jason Tatum started killing.
Started busting ass.
his days were numbered.
Nah, bro. They really have nobody on the Hornets. Like, Lord have mercy. They got Bismack Biyombo, which he hoops a little bit.
Shit, that might be good for Melo.
To be the star,
he has a super green light.
They got Devontae Graham. Do you remember that cat? That crazy shooter. He had a couple games where he hit a ton of threes.
That would be an incredible story. For him to go.
Young dude wears a headband with braids.
I don't.
Kind of dark.
Is he kind of slim?
Kinda.
I think he's talking about.
They haven't been
short or dark skinned dude.
They haven't been to the finals since I think he was a baby. So for him to go
to the Hornets,
yeah,
the Hornets do no damage.
They haven't
ever
2003. I think it said it was the last time that they went
to the finals.
Yeah,
no, the Hornets they did not go to the finals in 2003. Well, he's probably maybe. Well, you got to understand some of their fucking stats and stuff are
2002.
Some of their stats
the
and
Hornets.
Stuff.
The
listen,
Hornets,
hold on. Some of their stats and stuff are mixed up with when they were the Bobcats because the Hornets were gone.
The Bobcats never made it to the playoffs.
I don't think so either. But I'm just saying some of
the Hornets had never been to the finals in 2002. The Nets were in the finals.
Oh, I'm sorry, semifinals. It says the last time they came close to winning a championship was 1993, 98, 2001, and 2002 when they lost the Eastern Conference.
That's
semifinals.
When they had Ray Allen. The junkyard, not junkyard dog. Glenn Robinson, big dog.
Who?
And Sam Cassell, the Hornets. That's when Baron Davis was there, right?
Might have been B. Diddy, maybe.
Why the fuck would I say Ray? I was thinking about the Bucks.
So they've never made it to the finals.
They had Baron Davis.
I can't
there.
Even believe they made it to the fucking conference finals. I don't even remember that.
Yeah. No, that was that Chris Paul? No, that was later.
That would have been later.
Yeah, that was later.
So the highest achievement.
Yeah, it was Baron and them.
Had to been.
So my point was the highest achievement, like, if he would make it to the finals this year, like, obviously, like, he may not win, but.
They're going to have to go through the Nets to get to the finals.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, wouldn't that be crazy?
They're not making it to the finals.
I wonder what the expectations would be for him to be joining that team.
In the Eastern Conference, maybe their expectations could be a playoff spot.
Yeah.
But it depends on if they make any other moves, because I don't know who all's on their roster. It's just him and Gordon Hayward. Ain't really seen much from Gordon Hayward in a few years.
Well, after he popped his motherfucking leg in his debut game, that shit was gross.
Well, yeah, he broke his fucking foot, and then Jason Tatum started killing, and they just forgot that he was in Boston to begin with.
Wasn't that Jason Tatum's second year?
First. JT been killing since he got in the league.
But he was with the Cavs, though.
Jason Tatum?
No.
He was drafted by the Celtics.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I'm
that's
sorry.
Crazy.
His face was somebody else's face.
Him and
Jaylen
Brown started balling, and we ain't really seen nothing from Gordon Hayward since.
I had to pull up the roster just to see how they did that kind of damage and who was on that team for that 2002 Hornets team.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, that's Jamal Mashburn in his prime. And
they did have Mashburn, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. And Baron Davis. And then what was the other name that I said?
Was Jamal McGlure there too? The center.
Yep.
I think he was an All-Star that year.
Oh, okay. Well,
he was balling, too. They had a little squad, man.
But, I mean, at the same time, like, I mean, they had dudes that did all right. Stacey Augman, you know what I mean?
Niggas play their roles.
P.J. Brown, yeah. Shit like that. Eldon Campbell. I mean, Eldon Campbell's old ass.
And yeah, they played their roles, man.
David Wesley. David Wesley was a nice little role player. I remember them now. I at the time, I don't think I was heavy. That was right before LeBron came.
I've been a Baron Davis fan for a while, so I'll
Oh, I've always loved
B.
Diddy.
Yeah.
Man. He said he had a couple highlights that made me go crazy. The one time he, I think it was when he was with the Warriors, he dunked on dude and pulled his shirt up.
That was crazy. He dunked on Andre Kirilenko.
Kirilenko. Yeah, I think that's exactly who it was. Baseline. That was off two. That was nice. But yeah, we're getting into the weeds.
Yeah. We got way off track. We can't even do it like part one, part two of this shit. We're just going to have to be like, let's title this.
A whole lot of bullshit.
Yeah, got it. We got really deep into sports. So if.